Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. All right, so today we begin our new series, Audible. And it's the next series in our Anchor Initiative, which Jason just told us a little bit about. And if you haven't signed up for an Anchor crew or a group of people to walk out life with, I would highly encourage you to do that. So we've entitled our sermon series Audible, and it's not because we are going to teach you how to hear the audible voice of God, although he may choose to speak to you in that way, but because we want to go on a journey and learn how God communicates through his word, through promptings, through community, through his spirit, and through the still small voice. And so in September, Jason began the Resilience series with looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And he stated that if we are going to walk out the Christian journey, if we are going to walk out this Christian life and have some sort of stability in it, we are going to need to build our lives and anchor our lives on the rock, Jesus. Just like the man built his house upon the rock, we are going to need to do that as well. We're going to need to put into practice the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Word. Jesus, as well as many of the New Testament writers, talked a lot about enduring to the end, running the race with endurance and getting to the end. And unfortunately, I'm in my 30s now, or that's not the unfortunate part, but I'm in my 30s, and unfortunately, I've seen far too many individuals fall away from the Lord. Leaders who I have looked up to, and even on some level still do look up to, their hearts have hardened, they become cynical, and they have fallen away from the Lord. And so we want to be a people who are anchored on the rock and building our lives on Jesus. And so I believe that hearing God's voice is one of the ways that we can do this. Hearing God's voice and listening and putting into practice what he says. Doing this will be like building our house upon the rock. According to a study done by Yankelovich Incorporated, a person roughly sees 5,000 ads every day. Now, the problem with this study is that it was done in 2007. And so we are currently in 2020, and I would highly suspect that we see many more than 5,000 just because of the way our society has gone in the last 13 years. Not only do we see those ads bombarding us, but we also we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, we watch the news, we hear doctors giving speeches, we hear politicians giving speeches, we have conversations with families and friends, and all of these voices are bombarding our minds, our thoughts, our lives, and move us away from the most critical voice, and that is the voice of Jesus. Over the past 8 months, I have been nudged and prompted on multiple occasions to get my life steeped, yes, I said steeped, steeped in the Word of God. We have to be grounded in this good book, the words of our God. One of the biggest things I believe that Christians deal with is that we are listening to the wrong voices. We're listening to these voices creates worry, creates anxiety, creates stress, depression, and all of these are skyrocketing in our society right now. And not only that, but they pull us away from the number one voice that we need to be listening to, and that is the voice of Jesus. So how can we be anchored? How can we build our lives on the rock so that when the storms of life come, and if you don't believe me that the storms of life will come, if 2020 hasn't convinced you yet, we have a presidential election coming up. We have scandals in our own politics. We may have another election in Canada, who knows? And we have another 2 months left of 2020. So there's lots that could happen in the next couple months. I would argue that in order to be anchored, we must anchor our lives on the Word of God and the voice of Jesus. This has been one of the most foundational teachings in my life, has been a profound teaching in my life. It's changed the way I make decisions. It has changed the way I do ministry. It has changed the conversations that I've had and have. It changes how I interact with people, how I pray. Hearing God's voice has radically altered just about every aspect of my life. And it is the difference between a one-sided conversation and a dialogue with a friend. So let's dive into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And we read this morning the words of Jesus that we might encounter a living God. So John chapter 10 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." When understanding the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, undoubtedly we need to understand the context in which Jesus is speaking into. We need to understand what a Palestinian shepherd and what shepherding would look like in this time. And so in John chapter 10, verses 1, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold or the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and robber." So what would happen is you would have this sheepfold or a sheep pen, and the shepherds would be out with their sheep in the fields, and at nighttime they would bring their sheep in, and you had many different shepherds bringing their sheep into one pen. And so all these sheep would be mixed up. The shepherd spent much of his life with his flock, and he was one who knew his sheep intimately. He would lead them by streams. He would take them out to feed in the grass. He would climb up hills, and they would climb together. He would protect them. When I was growing up, I grew up on a farm. It was not my favorite thing. If you ask my family, they would tell you that I detested it. However, I spent many hours with my brothers and sister feeding the cows. And as well, we would take straw and we would throw it under each cow in the barn so that they had bedding for laying down. We would feed the calves. We would take bottles and we would feed each calf individually. And I got to know, as I spent many, many hours in the barn, my family, if they're watching online, is probably laughing at me right now, but I got to know these cows intimately, if I can say that. When you see these cows every day, you look at them and you see different. You see, this cow has spots on the back half of his body or her body, and this cow has no spots at all. Just completely. These were Holstein cows, and so you had spots. Each cow had different spots, and some cows had a limp when they would walk through the pasture, and you got to know different intricacies of each cow, and so a shepherd would know different intricacies about his sheep. He knew the sheep intimately. The sheep also knew and responded to his voice. Jesus states right here, he said, "The sheep only respond to the shepherd's voice. If it were a stranger's voice, they would either not respond or they would run away." There was no safety in a stranger's voice. There was only fear. The shepherd did not call his sheep randomly, but he knew each one by name. They knew his voice. The shepherd, he would, like I mentioned before, all these different shepherds would bring their sheep into this pen, and the shepherd would walk into the pen, and he would begin to call his sheep. And then he would turn around and walk the other way, and his sheep would follow him by his voice. And so I just want to show you some sort of an example by this video here that I've got. Couple stragglers. So you'll notice by the video, there was fog everywhere. My guess is that those sheep couldn't even see their shepherd, but he was calling, and it was in a different language, so don't, we couldn't understand what he was saying. But you'll notice that the sheep couldn't even see their shepherd, but they could hear his voice, and they would run to him. The shepherd led his sheep to fresh grazing and guarded them against wild animals. Psalm 23, I'm sure almost all of us are familiar with Psalm 23, gives us a beautiful picture of what a shepherd was like. It said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In verse 4, Jesus says this, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You'll see a lot in herding that a lot of herdsmen, I'm not a professional in this, but a lot of them will drive their cattle or whatever they're herding from behind. And they'll whip them, or they'll just make noise and push them from behind and drive them. However, a shepherd did the opposite. The shepherd would, like Jesus says, he would go before his sheep. And the sheep would follow them, or the sheep would follow him because they knew his voice. It said that the shepherd actually customarily knew the name of each sheep. So maybe he would name each sheep individually, but he would know each sheep by name. He laid down his life for his sheep. He would lay at the door of the gate. He would fight off wild animals. He would rescue sheep in and around cliffs and dangerous landscapes. And he would fight off robbers and thieves who would try to come in and steal the sheep from the pen. Throughout the Old Testament, specifically Ezekiel, but throughout the Old Testament, the leaders of Israel are referred to as shepherds. And God often rebuked the leaders or the shepherds of the day because they led their people astray. In Ezekiel 34:11, God says this to the people, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of cloud and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from all the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on the rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make myself, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." So the picture that Jesus is portraying in this figure of speech in John chapter 10 is of his leadership. And he's contrasting his leadership with the leaders of the day. He's giving us a picture of the good shepherd, the way he would lead his people. He is a safe leader. He is one who knows his sheep intimately. He goes before them. He leads by going ahead of his sheep. He is one who sacrifices for his sheep. As I said earlier, the sheep had many potentials for dangerous situations. They were prone to wander. There were wolves, and there were cliffs that the sheep could fall off. There was open landscape. The sheep could get lost. Robbers could come and steal them. The picture that Jesus portrays in John chapter 10 is one of the good shepherd, and he has a voice. And not only does he have a voice, but his voice is knowable and it is heard. He not only leads his sheep, but the way he leads his sheep is by his voice. Sheep following their shepherd is directly connected to the voice of the shepherd. Commentator Leon Morris suggests that while it is right to think of the shepherd in these terms, one must also not neglect that he is also, that is the good shepherd, he is also one who is in control. He is the ruler of his people, one who is Lord. And when he speaks, we must listen. The number one thing that I want you to take, or one of the things I want you to take from this passage of Scripture, is that Jesus has a voice. Jesus makes a significant point of the shepherd's voice. He is extremely intentional in his analogy. He desires his audience to know and understand that the shepherd has a voice and they will hear it. Brad Jerzak states this. He says, "Note also that Jesus did not say, might hear, could hear, should hear, or would hear, if only. My sheep do hear my voice," he asserts. It's just a fact. Jesus claims to be the good shepherd who speaks, and his people to be the flock that hear his voice. This claim may present a deep challenge to our natural inclination towards cynicism and skepticism. But it is also tremendous news in a world and a church that thirsts for a word from the Lord. Craig Keener says this, "Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. This phrase sums up so much. The close, personal relationship between himself and each of his followers. The absolute security that they have in him. His leadership and guidance. His constant company. His unfailing care." Let me be clear here this morning that the goal of hearing God's voice is to be intimately connected to him, to follow him, and to follow his leading. How could we follow our leader, our shepherd, if we do not know his voice? How can we be his hands and feet if we cannot hear his voice? How can we walk in our true identity as sons and daughters if we don't know what he would speak over us? A stranger's voice, Jesus says in verse 5, they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. It was believed that if a shepherd would dress up in, or if an individual would dress up in the clothing of a shepherd, and he would walk into the sheepfold and begin to call the sheep, the sheep would still not follow him, even though this shepherd looked like the sheep's shepherd. They would not follow him because his voice was not the voice of their shepherd. Unfortunately, I think in the church today, we know the voice of the strangers more than we know the voice of the shepherd. Are we listening to his voice? Or are the other voices of politicians, of doctors, of news feeds, of Facebook, of Twitter, are these voices screaming louder in our minds than the word of God, than the voice of our shepherd? I would have to admit that many times the voices of the world, the thieves, the robbers, scream loud in my head more than the voice of my shepherd. One of the things that I struggle with is my view of the Heavenly Father. The lie that I believe is that if I were to go to Him, that I would be condemned for my sin, that I would be told by Him that He's not proud of me. And this one time, I was at a retreat, and we had some time to go out and pursue the Lord in prayer and listen to His voice. And if I were honest, I was nervous to spend time alone with the Lord because, like I said, I was nervous what He would say to me because of the lie that I believed in my head. And so I went out. It was a beautiful day. I sat in a big red lawn chair, and I sat back, and I closed my eyes. And the first words that went through my mind were, "Randall, my son with whom I am pleased. Randall, my son with whom I am pleased." He didn't say anything else to me. And I sat there for the next 30 minutes, resting in the fact that my Father was pleased with me because I heard His voice. I heard Him speak over me that He was proud of His child. When we hear God's voice, we don't need to be insecure about who we are, but we can be confident that we are His children and He is our perfect Father. We can be confident that our shepherd is on our side. We can be confident that He is leading us and guiding us. We don't have to be anxious about anything because we hear the voice of our shepherd. We can be confident that He speaks over us. He speaks over you. "You are my child, and I am pleased with you." We can be confident that He leads us by going before us. He doesn't drive us from behind, but He goes out before us, and He leads us, and He looks for danger. And He says, "Randall, don't go over there because there's danger over there. Randall, come. I'm leading you in paths of righteousness." We can be confident that when the world tells us that we need to be afraid, He tells us that we can be secure in Him. When our leaders are insecure about what the future holds, we know that our shepherd is leading us. We know that our shepherd is guiding us by His voice. When the voice of the enemy says, "You are worthless. You are stupid. You are ugly." The voice of our shepherd says, "You are loved. You are my child. You are the beloved children of God." How many of us know the voice of our shepherd? How many of us know the voice of the stranger way more than we know the voice of our shepherd. How many of us are led astray by the voices of this world? When we are learning to hear the voice of God, it is a journey that we are all on. It's a journey to recognize his voice, the truth that he speaks over us, versus the lies of the enemy all over media, all over social media, in the conversations that we have. This takes practice. It takes intentionality to block out the lies of the world. I want to be brutally honest with you this morning. We must know the shepherd's voice if we want to stay anchored and grounded in our walk with him. And so this week, I want us to do something extremely practical. And I know that Canada got rid of their pennies, but I want you to take a penny and I want you to put it in your shoe. And you're asking me, why, Randall? Well, when you know when you have a rock in your shoe, the only thing you want to do is get that rock out of your shoe. It hits against your big toe, and the next thing you know, you got a bleeding toe, and there's blood everywhere. I want you to put a penny in your shoe, and whenever you feel that penny hit against your toe, I want you to stop in your tracks, and I want you to say, Lord, I am listening to your voice. Is there anything that you want to say to me? How are we going to learn the voice of our Savior, of our leader, of our shepherd, if we don't become extremely practical and extremely intentional? So I want to challenge you this week, the next 2 weeks, however long it takes, to put a penny in your shoe. And like I said, every time you feel that penny, ask the Lord to speak to you, to bring a scripture to your mind, to bring a word of encouragement, to speak over you identity as sons and daughters. This is how we are going to hear the voice of God, to learn the voice of our shepherd. So, put a penny in your shoe, and I want you to email me this week if you are joining me in this journey. Randall@CochraneAlliance.com. Email me. Let me know what you're hearing the Lord say. Is that a plan? Yeah? Sweet. All right, why don't we stand together and let's respond with worship to the Lord.